We're in Acts 2 this morning, really quickly. So we've seen the importance of compassion, then we saw the importance of hospitality, and now this week I want to talk about, as we're thinking about discipleship and practically speaking, how we can help people grow in Christ. Number three is the importance of friendship. The importance of friendship. I want to show you a couple of different passages. First of all, where we were in Acts chapter 2, verse number 44. Everybody there? Acts 2, verse 44, the importance of friendship. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd bless this time as we study this topic. Please help us to be just a friendly people, Lord, that are reaching out to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we talked about... Oh, and last week we got derailed. This was supposed to be our lesson last week, but we got taken off track. And we talked about that, those points about how to make each Sunday awesome, which I enjoyed going over that. But we've already talked about hospitality, and really, though, hospitality is a means to an end, right? Hospitality would be the means to the end, and really the end would be where we are today. Not the final end, but the point of it all is to develop friendships that are rooted in Christ, and through those, other people will grow in their knowledge of Him. What are some classic examples of friendship? You tell me this. Let's ask a couple questions to get us all thinking together this morning. What would be the difference then between hospitality and friendship? Is it possible to be a hospitable person but not a friendly person? Kayla's nodding her head. You're nodding your head, but you don't want to say anything? Right, it might not. Okay, all right. So what do you think, so what are we talking about the difference then in your mind before we even start to get into these specifics? The difference between being hospitable, which is important because that was one of our importances that we're talking about, but then compared to friendship, what's the difference? Desire to be liked. Okay, we're going to go a little bit. We're talking about friendship in a deeper way than that, though. But okay. They sure do. I'm really not looking for definitions. I'm just looking for you to think through it. Like, as we talked about hospitality and extending our home and opening it up, then. What's the difference between that and friendship? But that's what we're hoping. You're right. Yep. Okay. Somebody else? Sarah? Okay. In fact, actually, you kind of made me think of something there, too. You could say... So whereas hospitality is inviting someone into your home, friendship is inviting someone into what? Into your life. There's a bond that's there. So really, the ministry, and that's what you see with these people in the early church, right? Their lives are together. Did you have something, Brother Jim? Oh, and that's a really good point, because when you're just talking about hospitality, everything is good, right? It's like, this is welcome, this is it. But when deeper bonds are connected, you're comfortable enough with someone where they know that you're not perfect. For some of us, they find that out sooner than others, but it's very true. Somebody else had something? Yep. So, oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Where he said hospitality is meeting, but friendship is knowing. And that is really good. Somebody else, because these are all really good. Yes, ma'am. That's cool. I like that. That's good. Yeah. that's good. All right. Anybody else? Okay. So, another question here as we're talking about the importance of friendship. So then, how is it possible then for a person to be, now ready for this? This isn't going to make any sense, but I think you'll figure out what I'm saying. Is it possible to be friendly, but not friendly? What do you think I mean by that? Is it possible to be friendly, but not friendly? What am I saying about that? And there are people that are friendly. There are people, if you know what I'm saying, this makes sense to you. If not, just stick with us. We'll explain. All right. Okay. There's a hypocritical kind of friendship, or all right, we can play nice kind of friendship. Those are true. Not exactly where I'm going, but those are going to be part of it. Roger. That's exactly where I'm going with that. Exactly. That is exactly true. And now, some people struggle with friendliness, but they can become someone's good friend. You know what I'm saying by that? Some people they struggle with friendliness. They may even struggle with hospitality. They need to work on it. But then they are able to make deep connections with people. On the other hand, there are some people that are very outgoing, very, very friendly, but it never goes beyond that. So these are really good observations. So I think that we're tracking together here this morning. This is good. So how then can a church, first of all, tell me, how can a church, and because it can happen, be friendly, but not friendly? How could it happen in a local church? A church is friendly, but not friendly. That should have been the title of this. I'm just really liking that right now. Friendly, but not friendly. Are you friendly or friendly? How can that happen in a church? Yes? Here you make face. Okay, so for the recording and for those that can't hear, in the place here, you make face, right? Okay. It never leaves. Right. And it takes, and you're about 40 minutes from here? Now it's an hour. Wow. Okay. And in a church like ours, yeah, we're spread out in a lot of different directions, right? Some in this way, some that way, some the opposite direction. So yeah, if the friendship never leaves the walls of the church, that's one way that the church can be friendly, but not friendly. How else? Somebody else could it happen? Okay. There was a woman that was coming to church, and her daughter had cancer. And she told me, the woman told me that no one ever inquired about her daughter. And no one in the church had her daughter. So there was someone that felt, right or wrong, not to lay blame on anyone, but there was somebody at one point who felt like nobody inquired about her personally in the situation in her family. Okay. At which point, now, were people friendly to her, though, for the most part? Okay. That's an excellent illustration. And the point isn't to lay blame on anyone, but to bring awareness to us. So the story was, if you didn't hear it, someone comes to church, and there's a situation in their family that she knows other people know about, but for whatever reason, either shyness or I don't think, obviously, it's not that people don't care, but for whatever reason, that person, that individual never felt that anyone had taken an interest in their life personally. So people may be friendly, but then not friendly. That's a good example. Somebody else. How can you be friendly but not? Think about it from the perspective of if you were here for the first time ever, how could a church be friendly but not friendly? Any other ideas? Here's a bag with a mug.
You know, like, you're, like, first week, great. Second week, okay. Third week, not too bad. Fourth week,
awkward.
Fifth week, nothing. You know what I mean? Like, and you're friendly at first, but then it just kind of tapers away. It's like showing the face here, but not outside. But it's almost like showing the face inside, and after a while, it just kind of wears off.
Okay. Do you think that happens sometimes here? I mean, literally here, in our place? Yeah, it happens.
It does.
So, but it doesn't happen to everybody, right? It doesn't happen in every case. Why not? What's that?
Difference in personalities.
What does he mean by that?
Some people are outgoing, some people aren't. Some people want to be talked to. Some people are just, they're like, they rather keep to themselves. They're more comfortable keeping to themselves, or they're just not outgoing individuals. I'll be first to say, I like to talk, I'm outgoing.
No.
It's easier to get along with me and talk, and there's some people that just would rather not have conversation, they'd rather just keep to themselves. That's just who they are.
This is true. And then there are people, and then we can make an assumption that somebody maybe just wants to be kept to themselves, only to find out that they really didn't, that they had something going on in their life, and they were, this difficult stuff, right? Like, that's not, because everybody feels bad. Everybody feels bad, nobody more so than the pastor, feels bad when somebody leaves because they say, well, I just didn't make any connections. If I said that, you know, if I got up in the pulpit and I said, so-and-so has decided to leave because they didn't feel like they had any friends, everybody would feel personally responsible, right? You'd be like, oh, what could I have done? What could I, you know? Really, the reality is, the Bible does say in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself what? Do you know what it says? Yeah, it says, a man that hath friends, Proverbs 18:24, you might want to jot it down. You can actually turn to Proverbs. I want to show you a few verses here. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, ultimately, who is that friend that sticks closer than a brother? Who is that? It's Jesus. But specifically in the book of Proverbs, while Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that, in Proverbs 18:24, where it says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the direct application is not talking about Jesus. It's talking about a friend. It's talking about a friend. So the first thing here that the Bible says is the Bible actually teaches that a true friend, and this is what friendship should look like in the church, a true friend is better than even a brother or a sister. A true friend is better than a brother or sister. It says in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, if anyone should find friendships like that in life, they should be able to find them among the family of God. Right? Now turn in that same point that a true friend is better than a brother or sister, go to Proverbs 27. Go a few pages forward to chapter number 27 in the book of Proverbs. And this is another verse that teaches the very same thing. Verse number 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity. For better is a neighbor that is what? Near than a brother far off. Than a brother far off. So the Bible teaches here, look, that there are friendships. There's a closeness among people that have that bond of friendship that is better even than family. So I would encourage a church, us as a church, to think that way. So first of all, just to kind of clear up what we've talked about in the introduction, all I brought up all those points for was to get you thinking about this. All kinds of personalities will walk through those doors and come here. It's not your job. It's not your job to psychoanalyze or to, you know, figure out what it is. But it is our job as Christians who care to take sometimes that uncomfortable step to make an attempt to get beyond friendly and actually become friends. Right? And why do we resist that? You could give me lots of reasons, but one of the main reasons we resist that, it's not necessarily selfishness or dislike for other people. Often it's awkwardness. The unknown. To say, well, what happens if I extend out? But the only way to help people that are in need, people that are looking for that, is to take that step out. To take that step out. And so you find here, as we looked in Proverbs, first of all, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and a true friend is better than even a brother or sister. Along those lines, I would encourage us to think this way. Our world, increasingly, the family unit is disappearing. It's tragic. I mean, it is tragic. But the traditional family is vanishing. Now it is down to like 50% of children grow up in traditional families. And by traditional, I mean mom, dad, only spouse, family. That is not, it's no longer even the norm. It's about 50% that children grow up either with one parent, they live only with one of their biological parents, the other might be a step parent, if there's another parent at all. And what you're seeing is the old Italian families like Frank grew up in, where they had Sunday dinner together, and all that stuff is going away. Now, hopefully, it comes back. Hopefully, our culture has a wake-up moment and things go back in the other direction. But right now, that's not the reality. So why do I say all that? I say this, that there are people that the human heart still longs for those kinds of relationships. But they're not going to find them in the world. But they can be found among the people of God. But you know what one thing happens in conservative churches? In conservative churches, Bible-believing churches, guess what you have more of than the... Guess what is represented there that's not represented in the world? Those families. By nature, you go into Bible-believing churches, you're going to have more families. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. But then what are those, if those families are going to reach other people, what do they have to keep in mind? That there are going to be a great number of people that are not in your position. So then what is our responsibility? As those of us that do have that, our responsibility is to what? To make friendships with people that open that relationship, that door up to them. And that's what the church is called to be. But it's very easy for me and for others to say, you know what, I've got my wife that I love, and my four kids, and an extended family. This is a great thing, and we should enjoy that. And it is important to have set apart, safe, just family time. I believe in that. But then also to forget that, man, as the church, we're not just called to have an event a few times a week. We're called to actually make a difference in people's lives. And the Bible teaches that true friendship can be even closer than family ties. It's important for us to remember that and think about that. So, a true friend can be closer than a brother or sister, closer than even family. Now, also here, let's look at this. A true friend then, but this is what's important, a true friend challenges you to live for God. So in Proverbs 27, we're still there. Look at verse number 17. Look at verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Look at verse number 6 now. Back to verse number 6. Or look at verse number 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. That's a good one right there. And now verse number 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Why is it so important for us to develop these Christian friendships? Because Christians need each other. We need each other. If all we do is see each other on Sunday, how are we really going to sharpen one another? It says sometimes there are wounds that are delivered to us by our friends, but they're a blessing. Because it's only when true friendship is there that somebody can say, hey, you need to stop doing that. You need to straighten this up. Straighten that out. So a true friend will challenge you to live for God. I'm going to say more about that toward the end. Now, but we also have to beware of people that are, if Proverbs teaches us a true friend can be closer than family, a true friend challenges us to live for God, then there are also false or phony friends out there. Go to Proverbs 19. Let's make a couple of points about what to watch out for. Proverbs 19, verse 4. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A phony friend is a taker, not a giver. A false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall not escape. Look at verse 6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gift. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. So now it would be grotesque and even like just obnoxious to see somebody that was, well, you've all seen it before, somebody that hangs around like a rich person or a powerful person because they want what they can get, right? That's not friendship. That's not biblical. So most of us would say, that is just distasteful, it's ugly, it's crass, it's tacky, ugh. But how can we, maybe not in such a ostentatious way, how can we in our friendships behave similarly to this? If I ask enough questions, I finish my coffee. Think about it. It's easy to look at a verse like this. This is where deep Bible study is not about how much knowledge you know, but truly to study the Bible deeply is to keep looking at it and say, but how does this apply to me? Like, I'm not going to go look for the rich person and hang out with them. Maybe you would. That would not be good. But I think most of us as Christians, we see that. But how did this? Could this still apply to us, though, in our approach to friendship? Now I'm out of coffee. Well, how about this? Let me get you started. What is the point of the person here? He wants to be a friend to someone for what reason? What did he say? He said, for what he can get from them. Right? He's not interested in friendship for what he can give, but he's interested in friendship for what he can receive. In this context, he's looking to receive what? Money, goodies, toys, a night out, just a good time, right? It's superficial. But how can that, now I'm assuming nobody in here would behave like that. However, is there a similar way, or is the principle, can it still affect us the same in our approach to our friendships? Anybody got any thoughts on that? It's about what we receive, not what we give. So, let me help us out then. Here we go. If I approach, what are some ways that I desire friendship with a person, but really, there are some ulterior motives to it. Some of them aren't necessarily even bad. I just want you to think about it. For instance, I really like this person. They like me. We have a lot in common. Is there anything wrong with that friendship? No, of course not. Yet at the same time, by human nature, friendships are forged from benefit. Now, usually mutual benefit. So in other words, I'm going to be your friend because this is an economic exchange, Frank. Did you know that? This is an economic exchange. I'm your friend because either emotionally or personality-wise, I get a benefit from being your friend. And then you should, in turn, have a benefit from me being your friend. Right? That's how it works. But Christian friendship, how is it different than that? And I'm not saying you're bad to do that. But how can Christian friendship take it to the next level? What does Christ, based on what Russ said, how does Christ benefit from our friendship with him? What does he get in the exchange? What does he receive? He really doesn't receive from us. We have nothing to offer him. We have nothing to give him. So I'm not telling you that it would be wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong that your friendships, of course, should be fulfilling. But a Christian friend says, I will follow the example of Christ, and my friendship is going to be based on my giving, not my receiving. It's the same in a marriage. And most of you have heard that a marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. That Christian relationships are based on our giving. Well, I don't really like that person. Listen, it doesn't mean that you have to go to the movies with them, but you do have to be a friend to them, right? It doesn't mean you have to spend every waking minute with them. That's not the point. But you do have to be a Christian friend to them. What were you going to say? That was her. Yes. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, and because it is true what I just said. A Christian friendship is giving, not about taking. But you do have to be careful, because there are some people that when they find out that you're willing to be the giver, then they're like, okay, I'll be the taker. And they'll take and 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 take. And we've all experienced that in our lives. And there comes a point, though, if you're their friend. So how do you handle somebody like that? Well, remember, you're still supposed to be a giver. And it's not like, "Huh, I gave, and you know, you're just take." No. What a true Christian friend says, hey, listen. You just tell him. You say, listen, you're wrong here. Your attitude is wrong. It's incorrect. 9 out of 10 times, what will happen to that relationship when you correct that person? Gone. It's gone. It's gone. But 1 out of those 10, maybe 1 out of 100, you may have an impact on that person's life. And they may say, you know what, I'm wrong. And then guess what you have been, even though they were taker, taker, taker. See, that doesn't just mean you just give and let somebody use and abuse you. That's not the point. The point is a true friend will give the wound when it needs to be given. So if you are in a relationship with, say, you know, they tell me in church, be a giver, and that's what I'm doing, and people are just taking, well, maybe you need to give that person what they really need. And that is the Word of God, how they can change their life. Yeah, so be careful in those kinds of relationships. But generally speaking, what we're talking about is give with no expectation of return, as Christ gave to us. Yep?
Would God give
Oh, wow.
And it was a love that I love her more than I love my sister. I mean, we've had that sister Christ relationship that I could really keep on any type of imagining. Like, I learned so much. And this week, because of us doing that, her daughter just came to stay.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
They came back this week, they're 25, 27, and they always come and visit us and want to hear about their mom.
Wow. So by befriending this woman who was in really in a bad situation, you receive in the long run the blessing. Wow. Amen. Yeah, that's good. So, be a giver, not a taker. That's a true friend. And I was going to say one other thing about that, but I'm really, I can't think of it right now. So, yeah. I guess I'll just have to move on to the next point. Okay. So, with that in mind, then, it's important. I've got a lot of different things to say, and I just got to figure out which ones to skip over. I would say this, along the lines of what we just said, obviously make Jesus your closest friend, right? Because what will happen, There's another reason that people, there's another reason that churches can begin to lose that aspect of friendship. And this is the hardest one. And it happens more often in smaller churches than large churches. Because in large churches, there's just so many people. And you can be friends with whoever you want to. And there's disadvantages to that in large churches as well. But in small churches, one thing happens is that you do open your life to somebody only to get burned. You know what I mean? And it happens. Pastors struggle with this more than anyone. Because pastors pour their lives into people that they think are their friends. They get upset because whatever reason, right or wrong, and then it's over. It's like, well, didn't those 10, 15 years mean anything? But Christians, church members, you go through the same things. But if you just remember that that Jesus is your closest friend, and that all that we do is based on our relationship to Him, and our relationships with each other are based on our relationships to Him, a reference for that, John 15:13-16, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. Jesus says, but I have called you friends. So don't get bitter. Don't be, there's no one, you remember the Apostle Paul? How many friends did Paul have? I was going to walk you through some of these passages. We're going to look at one to conclude in a minute. Paul had so many friends. But there was a point in his life where he wrote to a letter and he said, Demas has forsaken me. This person left. There's nobody here except one. There was one person left. I forget who it was. I think maybe Mark. He's the only one left. But he didn't get bitter. Everywhere Paul went, I remember, I think it was the Thessalonians where he said that we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And we were willing not to impart unto you the gospel of Christ only, he said, but also our own souls. And he knew the work was the work and the love and the grace that it was. Oh, I heard this week, and I'll share this with you. I thought it was really good. The pastor said this. He said, if your relationship this way, vertically, with Christ is right, then what's happening is Jesus is pouring His grace into our lives, right? Follow what I'm saying? Forgiveness and mercy and love. And if that is right, then that is what's filling us, and then it flows out this way. I thought that was a great illustration, a great way to understand that, is that I'm receiving everything from above, and I should allow that to fill me so much that it just starts seeping out in each direction. And pours out in other directions. But it's all based on our relationship with Christ. So don't get bitter and don't get burned. But just continue to live by grace and show the love of Christ to everyone. So finally, I want to say this. Principle of Christian friendship, be a friend to everyone, but now choose your friends carefully. I've been saying this, I used to say this to teenagers all the time. You should be a friend to everyone, but you should choose your friends carefully. What I mean by that is, friendship is always pouring into somebody's life, right? It's always going to be that. You in somebody else's life. So as a Christian, whose life should you be impacting? Everybody you can. Everybody you come into contact with should say, wow. If they don't consider you their friend, they should want you to be their friend. And they say, wow, it's a better experience having been around that person. So as Jesus was, and Jesus was criticized for being the friend of sinners, we should be a friend to everyone. But remember, if friendship is one life pouring into another, that means that the friends we choose to have are doing what to us? The same in return. So that's why I would say, be a friend to everyone, but choose your friends carefully. What I mean by that is, guard your relationships so that I will show love and friendship to all who I come in contact with, but I'm going to be very careful who I allow to influence me. That's why for a believer, our very closest friendships should be with strong believers. In fact, what we ought to do is seek out friendships with people that we know are further in their faith than us. We ought to seek out friendships and say, I want to be friends with that person because that person can help me be a better Christian. They can help me grow in Christ. If you read personal development or leadership or business books, they one of the pieces of advice they give business people and or people that want to become successful is, hey, find successful people and hang around with them. They tell you that all the time. When you get done with, if you've ever read those books, when you get done with work, instead of going out with all your coworkers and your friends, try to get a few minutes with your boss or with somebody that's ahead of you, somewhere where you want to be. That's a life principle, though. And that's a spiritual principle as well. It's so important for us to find people in our life that we'd say, you know what? I would like my Christian life, my family, my marriage, my whatever, I would like my life to follow Christ the same way those people do. So I want them to be my friend. And what happens is that is given back in return. So let me give you one example of this as we finish. Go to Acts chapter 18 really quickly. Acts chapter 18. Got some guests coming in too right there, so. Acts 18, look at this, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. Verse 3, because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Now if you look down to verse 18, Paul, after this, tarried there a good while and then took leave of the brethren, sailed into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Now, you can study these two out. If you want to write this down, write down Acts 18 and 1 Corinthians 16. In both of these passages, you see Aquila and Priscilla. Now, what has happened here is they chose to be a friend to the Apostle Paul. Paul had a profound impact on their life. And for the rest of their life, they were great friends of the Apostle Paul. And as he ministered to them, eventually, guess what happened? The whole thing got turned around. And he was the minister, but in that relationship, who did most of the ministering? Aquila and Priscilla did most of the ministering to Paul. And on multiple occasions, he mentions them. These were people, church members, wonderful Christian servants. And in two references, in Romans 16 and in 1 Corinthians 16, you find a church meeting in their home. All because they sought a friendship with Paul, and then after those relationships built them, and then it began to flow out of their lives. Barnabas was an example of this. throughout the scriptures, the importance of the friendships is never neglected. People grew in Christ because of the deep bonds they had with one another. So we went in a lot of different directions, but it was good. We talked about a lot of things about friendship. It's so important if we're going to personally be responsible for the Great Commission taking place right here where we live. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be loving and caring. I pray that you'd strengthen the bond that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.